Welcome to Our Shepherd's View, an in-depth discussion with the Most Reverend Michael Mulvey, Bishop of the Catholic Diocese of Corpus Christi. Join us now as Bishop Mulvey shares his thoughts and reflections on this week's gospel, as well as other issues and events happening in the diocese.
Good morning and welcome to Our Shepherd's View. My name is Jesse DeLeon. I'm here with Bishop Michael Mulvey on this sixth Sunday in Ordinary Time. It's February already, Bishop. Good morning.
Good morning to you, Jesse, and good morning to everyone. I have to say, the last couple of weeks, I've been out and about in the community a little bit, several people have come and thanked us for the program. Oh. So I want to greet all of them and to say you're welcome and keep listening. We're very happy to do this for the community and to meditate on the gospel of Jesus Christ for all of us.
We thank them for having us on, whether they're listening on radio or they're listening to the podcast. We thank them for their attention this morning.
Right. So today is the sixth Sunday in Ordinary Time. And as you know, this is a brief bit of ordinary time between the end of Christmas time and the beginning of Lent. So we have just a couple of more of these in ordinary time, and then we move on to the great season of Lent, and then leading us into the Paschal mystery of Easter, etc. So this is taken from the Sermon on the Mount. In St. Matthew's Gospel, the Sermon on the Mount is from chapter 5 to 7, inclusive, and it really brings about a bunch of moral teachings, but also eschatological teachings, in other words, leading us to eternal life, and many things. And I think over the years, centuries, different people have used it for different purposes.
Right.
But it truly is the teaching of Jesus Christ for us as human beings to be more transformed and more transparent in Him as our Lord and God and Savior. So chapter 5 of St. Matthew, verses 17 to 37. Jesus said to his disciples, "Do not think that I have come to abolish the law and the prophets. I have come not to abolish, but to fulfill. Amen, I say to you, until heaven and earth pass away, not the smallest letter or the smallest part of a letter will pass from the law, until all things have taken place. Therefore, whoever breaks one of these least commandments and teaches others to do so will be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever obeys and teaches these commandments will be called greatest in the kingdom of heaven. I tell you, unless your righteousness surpasses that of the scribes and Pharisees, you will not enter the kingdom of heaven." So I want to just pause there. This is a long reading today, so we have time to comment along the way. But just to pause there, where Jesus says, "I have not come to abolish the law and the prophets." All of that led up to him, but I have come to fulfill. So throughout this reading this morning, we will hear several times, "You have heard it said," or "you've heard said." And I think, you know, many times we refer to what we've heard.
Right.
But maybe we slip and we're a little less attuned to what Jesus is saying to us now. And that's the kind of the spirit I would like us to keep in mind as we read through this as a kind of a joint meditation this morning, a little different approach this morning. But we've heard many things and we maybe have slacked away from what we've heard, but Jesus is bringing it all to a different level. And calling us to be more serious about our faith, more engaged in our faith, more witnessing in our faith. So it's not for any of us to be people who fall back into just a pattern that's comfortable. Christianity is not comfortable and never was meant to be comfortable. It's meant to witness to God's presence in our life, and that we're the Word of God, the words of the gospel especially, that become a rock for civilization and a rock for community and a rock for each person's life in this world.
And also in that moment that you said that he was saying that everything that you've heard, it's almost like the big panorama of all of the prophets that came before are connecting to him. He's connecting to them. Maybe some people see that then or now as we study it, you're making that connection. So we see that he is what he said he was going to be doing based on what was said before.
Yeah, and we can always quote what we've heard in the past. But as we know, with anything, especially with Christianity, Jesus updates it mm-hmm. to his own teaching. And so we can't live on what's past. Right. An imperfect, you might say, word of the prophetic word or whatever, but it needs to have always the light of Jesus Christ. So
he's always alive.
He's the one, yes, that's a reference for us in all that we do. So let's continue on then with these several commandments, you might say.
Mm-hmm.
You've heard that it was said to your ancestors, you shall not kill. And whoever kills will be liable to judgment. But I say to you, whoever is angry with his brother will be liable to judgment. And whoever says to his brother, Raga, will be answerable to the Sanhedrin. And whoever says, you fool, will be liable to fiery Gehenna. And therefore, if you bring your gift to the altar, and there recall that your brother has anything against you, leave your gift at the altar. Go first and be reconciled with your brother, and then come and offer your gift. So that there, again, is a very, very powerful phrase, a part of this gospel that really reaches into all of our hearts. You can say, well, I didn't kill anybody. Yeah, but how many times have we been angry?
Mm-hmm.
How many times have we cursed people out? How many times have we gossiped about people? Mm-hmm. How many times have we ruined other people's reputations? And, you know, all of these things that are offenses against the other person, Jesus is condemning here mm-hmm. and calling us to a different kind of life. And don't even bring your gifts to the altar mm-hmm. until that reconciliation has taken place, because there's a note of hypocrisy there.
Right.
And, you know, all of us fall short. But it's a time to examine ourselves. Bringing my gifts to the altar means that I'm reconciled with God mm-hmm. and with my brothers and sisters. So that's the first real teaching of Jesus in these series of phrases. The next, settle with your opponent quickly on the way to court. Otherwise, your opponent will hand you over to the judge, and the judge will hand you over to the guard, and you will be thrown into prison. Amen, I say to you, you will not be released until you have paid the last penny. You have heard that it was said, you shall not commit adultery. But I say to you, everyone who looks at a woman with lust has already committed adultery with her in his heart. If your right eye causes you to sin, tear it out and throw it away. It is better for you to lose one of your members than to have your whole body thrown into Gehenna. And if your right hand causes you to sin, cut it off and throw it away. It is better for you to lose one of your members than to have your whole body go into Gehenna. So again, Jesus is looking very, I would say, kind of through a microscope into life and to the way that we oftentimes live our life. And we can easily say, I've not committed adultery, mm-hmm. Which is obviously an offense against another person, a man toward a woman. But he's saying, let's look even deeper. And Jesus is always, as he says, but I say, in other words, let's go deeper mm-hmm. into this commandment of not committing adultery. Not committing this offense against the person of another. Whoever looks at a person with lust is already guilty of that sin as well. And so it's better to take your eye out, or mm-hmm. we could say, you know, close your eyes, turn your eyes another way. Read something that's beneficial and uplifting instead of reading mm-hmm. pornography and all these other things that only plant these ideas into our minds and our hearts and therefore are brought to fruition in lust and et cetera, other things. So he's always taking it to a deeper and more profound level of the human person, challenging us to not just go by the letter of the law, mm-hmm. but all of the challenges of our eyes, our hands, our feet that are members of our body and can also lead us into a sinful way of life.
In a way, it's a call to refocus that energy.
Right.
And if you are using your eyes for the wrong thing to refocus, or like you said, any other part of your body to say, okay, I'm going to turn this energy into something positive and move forward as opposed to stay in that cycle that a lot of times people get into when they develop a habit that stays that way and maybe even turns into an addiction for some.
Right, so. Exactly. And that's a big problem today. Right. So, it's not just, okay, here I'm not committing adultery. So, I can justify. A lot of it's about justification. Mm-hmm. I can justify myself. There's the commandment. Don't commit adultery. Well, I can watch pornography and degrade people through objectifying them. Mm-hmm. That's not adultery. Well, in Jesus' mind, it is.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Or I can, it says use my hands. Mm-hmm. And again, whatever that means in a person's life, but Jesus says, cut off your hand if it causes you to sin, mm-hmm. or your foot or whatever. If your foot's taking you to the places that you shouldn't be going,
right.
cut it off. It doesn't mean cut them off physically, obviously. But it's redirect them, as you said. Mm-hmm. And to not say, well, I'm not doing the big thing. I'm just doing the little one.
A rationalization.
That's rationalization to the height.
Right.
So that's what Jesus is trying to say. You know, let's live lives that are serious. Let's live. If we're going to say, I'm a Catholic or I'm a Christian, I'm committed to Jesus Christ, well, then just show it.
Right.
And not just play around with the big commandment, which mm-hmm. I've not done, mm-hmm. and then justify it with the little offenses, mm-hmm. which are not that little, because they can lead to the little ones always lead to the big ones.
Right.
So this is a real important gospel for all of us to focus on. And then he says, whoever divorces his wife must give her a bill of divorce. But I say, whoever divorces his wife, unless the marriage is unlawful, causes her to commit adultery, and whoever marries a divorced woman commits adultery. It's a very delicate thing for in our society mm-hmm. today. There's many factors that weigh in, but it's still something I think all of us need to think of. How much, and I would put it this way, we're called to build relationships, not tear them down.
Right.
And if as looking at the verse before this, if our temptations are taking us away from the person to whom I'm committed, mm-hmm. those are the things I need to pay attention to because they will return.
Right.
They intensify.
Right.
And then, we find ourselves in these situations every day, especially in married life and in my life too. Looking for ways to build and to reinforce and to engage in the beauty of the relationship that I have, mm-hmm. I with the church, with the people that I serve, people who are married with their spouse, mm-hmm. is to not let a day go by that's not reinforced or that it doesn't become entangled in something that can tear it apart.
Right, right.
It has to be built. This is the Christian life. When Jesus speaks of staying awake, he's talking about staying awake spiritually in these moments. Don't let the bad get a hold of you.
Or let your guard down.
Or let your guard down, exactly. So it's, we call it divorce, but that can be led up to very easily by smaller things that then lead to an ultimate break. So just all of us, in whatever vocation of life we're in, let's build a life and not either neglect it mm-hmm. or tear it down. The next one says, again, you have heard that it was said to your ancestors, do not take a false oath, but make good to the Lord all that you vow. But I say to you, do not swear at all, not by heaven, for it is God's throne, not by the earth, for it is his footstool, nor by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king. Do not swear by your head, for you cannot make a single hair white or black. Let your yes mean yes, and your no mean no. Anything more is from the evil one. So again, we have another, you've heard it said, mm-hmm. and about false oaths and do good, make good on the vows that you make to the Lord. And again, we kind of sometimes live our life as disciples of Jesus Christ according to certain norms that mm-hmm. we either were trained in or that we have embraced. But then when we're not in church, the certain words slip out of our mouth or certain thoughts against other people mm-hmm. or certain
behaviors,
mm-hmm. curses that come about. And it's just, we're almost like playing a game.
Right.
I've kept this part of the law, which mm-hmm. is pretty easy, but I will not keep the rest of it because I kind of melt in, mold into the society around me, and I don't want to be standing out by being a goodie, by not using the same language or the cursing or whatever it is else it is in our society that's becoming so so prolific. But it's here, you know, to really be who we're called to be. And I think that when we look at the Beatitudes, that really is what Jesus is calling us to do. Look at me. I'm the way, the truth, and the life. Do as best you can with my grace, my help, Jesus speaking to us. And to go beyond yourself. Don't fall into kind of a lax way of life in living who you are and what you what we have been called to do as Christians, as Jesus Christ.
And running parallel with the Beatitudes, which we heard in the gospel earlier, a couple of weeks ago, was kind of the underlying theme of humility, which again goes back to what you said about how we have to get out of our own way or empty ourselves in order to be able to understand and act on what Jesus is calling us to do. If we're full of ourselves and we're unfocused and we don't have that clarity that humility gives us, then all of this becomes much more difficult to
do. Yes, exactly. Humility also, you know, as St. Catherine of Siena, who's a doctor of the church and an uneducated woman, but she's a doctor of the church because she gave us spiritual principles based on the gospel, and that's what all the saints who are doctors have done is they are so involved with the grace of God in their faith that they write in ways to explain how to live the Christian life. So St. Teresa of the Child Jesus, another simple French woman, young girl, is also a doctor of the church. But St. Catherine of Siena used to speak about knowing yourself, self-knowledge, that really the Christian life begins with self-knowledge. Who am I? And that kind of reflection, and as Lent begins to approach, I would really encourage all of us, those that are listening and in the congregations, parishes throughout the diocese, take some time this Lent. It's not about just that, as we'll say in some recordings that I'm preparing for Lent, it's not just about the candy bar.
It's about giving something up.
Yeah, the giving something else also helps you. I've been rethinking this. The candy bar is important to give up because every time you say no, but you need to evaluate what does it take for me to say no.
Right. The process of it, not just saying no, but leading up to it, the feeling of, okay, I really, really want to have that chocolate bar, but I'm denying myself that. And that feeling can transcend that moment into something other, into our spiritual lives.
Right. It's even what these things are requiring. Jesus is saying, don't just do it out of habit. Don't let it just fall into it, but evaluate what it takes from you in the sacrifice, but also the love of God that you're experiencing in doing it. And so when we're looking at all of this and listening to St. Catherine of Siena, to know yourself is the beginning of all wisdom. You know, that we're a child of God. What does that mean? And how do you experience that? That God is calling you to holiness is all of us. Jesus himself says, you know, you are all called to be holy. But what does that mean in my daily life? That self-awareness, self-knowledge, which is humility, as you're talking about, that when a person does that and takes time, that humility, it begins to sink in and we're aware of who I am and who God is. And that is the huge offense, I would say, the huge sin of the modern world is that we don't know who we are, which means we don't know who God is. We don't know, therefore, that we exist and therefore God doesn't exist. And this is the great sin, I would say, but it's also the great challenge. We do know God exists, and therefore, from him, I exist, but who am I? It's the question for centuries, is the great philosophical question, who am I? And the beauty of who we are is to be discovered. And so it's these kinds of gospels that tell us to go beyond just the normal, what you've heard, and explore the deeper meaning of life, the deeper meaning of Jesus' commands, helps us to come to the deeper beauty of who we are, and therefore we understand the depth of who God is as well.
And it's a journey that we can make progress on, and if we falter, we shouldn't lose faith and shouldn't lose our enthusiasm for it. And a lot of times to redirect. Earlier at Mass, you had talked about, heard you mention about how the GPS can get us back on. You have to recalculate your path sometimes. Yeah. And spiritually that happens a lot, but it's okay to, you have to just keep trying instead of getting sidelined and you can't pull over and sit on the side of the road. You got to keep the journey going.
That's good. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Maybe that little metaphor that I came up with, I'm preparing a retreat next week in Houston. And thinking of all this, I use the idea of you got to set your GPS. Mm-hmm. I've got to set it for Holy Name Retreat Center when I right. head out on Sunday. And I might deviate it, press six at one of these places,
right.
and recalculating, mm-hmm. That if you use the image of a road and a journey and a voyage, that's what life is. Mm-hmm. So to set our GPS for heaven, H-E-A-V-E-N, mm-hmm. and set it to go. Mm-hmm. And we'll find along the way, if we really keep that in mind, we will find that there's deviations, there's potholes.
Recalculations.
And then we are called to recalculate.
Right.
And we're, our GPS saying, recalculate yourself. That's what life's about. Maybe if we put a little more humor into living life, it mm-hmm. might be a little easier or better or more profound than just, putting it on an automatic go, and then wherever I end up is where I end up. We don't want to end up wherever we want it, wherever the road takes us.
But just anywhere, right.
We want to set it toward heaven and get there mm-hmm. and go intentionally.
There's a saying that says, if you don't know where you're going, any road will get take you there.
That's right.
Right. Yeah,
the rector in the seminary, first day he took over, he said that, and mm-hmm. everybody just, of course, we're young and rolling our eyes like, oh, yeah, right.
Yeah.
It's come on. But it's the words of wisdom. I know in my own life, it's if you want to accomplish something, you got to set the GPS and the tone and mm-hmm. the direction to get there, or else you'll never get there.
And of course, stay focused on the journey as you progress.
Yeah.
And a lot of times, too, when we're on those types of journeys, things happen that maybe we don't understand or we don't expect. They're not necessarily bad, but they're things that God puts in front of us as an opportunity to learn something and to deepen ourselves along the journey, whether we encounter people that have, maybe they present challenges or difficulties, things that aren't necessarily bad, but things that challenge us, then I think, as we go along that GPS journey to heaven, sometimes we'll have to take people along with us and be shown the way, but also show others the way too.
Yeah. I mean, that's a good point with the what we call the cross. I mean, it is a time to recalculate. It's because every time we encounter a difficulty or a cross, as we would call it in the journey with Jesus Christ, everything's a cross that has a tendency to make us pause or stop or turn around. But the cross always calls us to more, never to less. It always brings us to an encounter with Jesus Christ. It never leaves us blank. Again, it's the eyes that we see with that help us to understand that. If all we see is black, negative, horrible things, that's the identity we give to it, and that's what it's going to be. If in every cross I see an invitation of God to stretch myself, to love more, to forgive, to not adapt myself to all those things, it's what makes me grow. What makes a person grow? And so again, as we go along this journey, there are those moments, what would be the obstacles to faith, but are actually the springboards to greater faith. And this whole gospel today is really Jesus saying, don't get caught up in the potholes. Mm-hmm. But spring forward to even more life, more happiness, more joy through more faith in Jesus Christ. So that's just a great gospel to really spend our week on, really looking at it again over and over. Jesus calls us to go beyond what we've heard.
Thank you, Bishop, for that wonderful reflection on this week's gospel on this sixth Sunday in Ordinary Time. As we close today's Our Shepherd's View, would you end, please, on a prayer, Bishop?
Lord God, this Sunday we ask you to give us the grace to see beyond what is right in front of us and to see your plan for life. May we journey together with your church, together with each other. May we reach into deeper understanding of your will through the gospel of Jesus Christ and find the joy of living the journey of faith together. We ask this through Christ our Lord. Amen.
Amen.
This has been Our Shepherd's View with the Most Reverend Michael Mulvey, Bishop of Corpus Christi. Our Shepherd's View is a production of 89.5 KLUX and the Diocese of Corpus Christi's Office of Communications and Public Relations. You can hear the podcast of this program at goccn.org. Thank you for listening.
For many centuries, the Catholic Holy Mass was celebrated in Latin. Today, that tradition continues and is referred to as the extraordinary form of the Mass. The faithful at St. John the Baptist Catholic Church, 7522 Everhart in Corpus Christi, invite you to join them at the extraordinary form of the Mass in Latin, as encouraged by St. John Paul II and Pope Benedict XVI, complete with Gregorian chant and with Father Rodolfo Vasquez presiding, every Sunday at 10:15 a.m. after recitation of the Holy Rosary. Daily Low Mass takes place every Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Friday at 12:05 p.m. St. Edmund Campion Missals in Latin and English are provided for your convenience. For more information, call Jackie Hine at St. John the Baptist Catholic Church, 361-443-1945.